We're in OUJLIC, strictly on the Parsha. This week's Parsha is a double Parsha, Achrimot and Kedoshim. We're going to focus this on Parsha Kedoshim. There's more than enough to focus on in Parsha Kedoshim. And the primary thing to focus on in Parsha Kedoshim is the topic of Kedusha. And there is perhaps no more central concept to Judaism, Bechlal, than the concept of Kedusha. There's no way that we're going to be able to unpack this rich and deep concept in one shiur. But I hope that we can lay the groundwork to have a much deeper understanding, deeper framework for what Kedusha is, so that we, over life, as we learn more about Kedusha, and hopefully, as we continue in our own lives, to strive towards attaining Kedusha, strive towards living Kedusha, that again, we have the vessel, we have the kli, we have the framework in which to do that more successfully and more meaningfully. The parsha opens up. Second pasuk of the parsha. The first is Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lemor Mashu Kazeh. Pasuk Bet. Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem. Speak to the entire assembly of the Jewish people and say to them, Kedoshim tihiyu, be kadosh, ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem, because I, Hashem, your God, am kadosh. And that frames the parasha. The goal is kedusha. Kedoshim tihiyu, you must be kadosh. Our goal is to become kadosh. And perhaps for no more powerful reason possible than ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokechem, because I, Hashem, your God, am kadosh. This is one of the most central concepts in all of Judaism. And I don't say that lightly, I mean that very literally. First of all, it's everything that we've been striving to achieve over the course of Sefer Vayikra. As we've spoken about in previous shiurim, if we reach back to Parshat Shmini, source number 3, which we said was kind of the turning point of the Sefer, of Sefer Vayikra. After the deaths of Nadav and Avihu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu defined what we need to accomplish over the rest of the Sefer in the next paragraph. It's only 3 pesukim long. Vayidaber Hashem el Aharon lemor, Yayin b'shechar al tesh v'chule, pasuk yud, ulehavdil bein hakodesh uvein hachol, uvein hatameh uvein hatahor. That the goal of Sefer Vayikra from that point forward is to distinguish between Tum'ah and Tahara. What is Tum'ah? What is Tahara? We've spoken about that previously. And then once we've achieved the removal of Tum'ah and a state of Tahara, to then distinguish between Chol and Kodesh and achieve a level of Kedusha. That's where all of Sefer Vayikra is headed. Why are there then more Parshiot 8 after Parshat Kedoshim? That's for Shir Kali for the next few weeks. But the aim of Sefer Vayikra from that point forward is Kedusha. It therefore becomes the central concept of Sefer Vayikra. And regardless of the number of the Parsha, it is the centerpiece of Sefer Vayikra. It's the central Parsha. We have a beginning of the Sefer, we have an end of the Sefer. What stands at the centerpiece of Sefer Vayikra is Parsha Kedoshim, because it stands at the center of what Vayikra is about. And not only that, but what do we have before Sefer Vayikra? And then? Bereshit and Shmot. And what do we have after Vayikra? Bamidbar and Devarim. Vayikra is the center Sefer. The centerpiece of Torah is Sefer Vayikra, and the center of the center is Kedusha, is Kedoshim. The centerpiece of Torah, very literally, is the concept of Kedusha. Source that we've talked about many times in the past. The opening Medrash in Medrash Rabbah says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu mabit ba Torah uvara et haolam. That a Kadosh Baruch Hu gazed into the Torah and using the Torah as the blueprints created the world. And what that means as well is that if the center of Torah and the centerpiece of Torah is Kedusha, the centerpiece of all of reality, of all of creation, is Kedusha itself. Which beautifully reflects itself in reality. Because where is the centerpiece of the physical world? Think back to yesterday.
Israel.
Thank you. The centerpiece of the physical world is Yerushalayim. The centerpiece of Yerushalayim is the Beit HaMikdash. The center of the Beit HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKodashim. From a Torah level to a creation level to a physical world level, Kedusha is at the center. Kedusha is the heart and soul of all of creation, of all of life, of what we're meant to accomplish here. It's at the center of ourselves, the center of the world, the center of the Torah. There is literally no more central concept in all of Torah. It's what we're told that we're intended to achieve. Source number four. In the cycle of the year, we're coming up. We're building up to Shavuot. And in the context of coming to Har Sinai, source number four, Shmot Peret Yutet Pasuk Aleph. B'chodesh Hashvi'i Latzei Pnei Yisrael Mi Eretz Mitzrayim B'yom Hazeh Ba'u Midbar Sinai. We come to Midbar Sinai, we come to Har Sinai to receive the Torah. And at that time, the first thing that we're told is Pasuk Vav, Va'atem Tiyu Li Mamlechet Kohanim V'goy Kadosh. The goal of leaving Mitzrayim was to get to Matan Torah. And what Matan Torah and the Torah itself is meant to accomplish for us is that we should be, what we need to do to live up to that, to receive that, and to be B'nai and B'not Torah, and the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to be Kadosh. V'atem t'ilamecha kohanim v'goy Kadosh. That's the goal. As we talked about also many times in the past, there are two cycles of the year that go on top of each other. The cycle of the Parshiot has to interact with the cycle of the year itself. Where are we right now in the cycle of the year? Louder. In Sefirat HaOmer. What is Sefirat HaOmer? What's the goal of Sefirat HaOmer? To build up to Matan Torah. And what do we do during Sefirat HaOmer? Not just count, but we go through every midah one at a time to purify ourselves. And so there's a lot of depth of meaning that it's specifically these parshiot of Sefer Vayikra that define how to remove tum'ah, create a reality of Torah, and achieve Kedusha. That those are the parshiot that bring us through Sefirat HaOmer to Matan Torah. They're meant to come on top of each other. The cycle of years is meant to interact in that way. And in the same way we're told, Atem Tzilu Melech HaKohanim V'Goy Kadosh, in order to receive the Torah. That's what we're working for right now. This is the Avodah. Zeh Inyan HaDiyoma. This is the Avodah right now of Sefirat HaOmer. What is this concept of Kiddusha? Before we do that, just come back to the first Rashi on the Parsha. Source number two. That's why it makes a lot of sense why Rashi says, when the Pasuk says, Dabir al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, speak to the entire assembly of b'nei Yisrael. Rashi, source number two, says, Melamed shen emra parasha zo behakem. This Parsha was given over specifically this Parsha, with all of the Jews gathered together. Why? Misharov gufei Torah tluyin ba. Because the majority of Torah is dependent upon this Parsha. It's dependent on these concepts. The only way to truly live Torah is to live it through Kedusha. As mazeh Kedusha. What is Kedusha about? Let's start to unpack. What terms are related to the root of Kedusha? Share the root of Kadosh. Excellent. Kiddushin, marriage.
Kadesh and Kadish.
Kiddush and Kadish, good. We'll link those in peripherally as well. One other key term that I want to get up on the board. You said Kiddush, good. Kiddush and Kadish.
Hektish.
Mazeh Hektish. The Beit HaMikdash, something which is, like you said, set aside and totally given over to the Beit HaMikdash.
And Kedushin?
It's marriage. Yes. What? We're not gonna focus on that piece too much. That's not the goal of this year. It's not the goal of this year. Kiddushin is the process of marriage. Hekdesh is the process of setting something aside for the Beit HaMikdash. And that seems to be at the core of what Hekdesh is. I think you phrased it, I tried to like scale back to see if we could frame it differently, but you really kind of hit it right on the head. Is the concept of setting something totally aside for the Beit HaMikdash. Designating it uniquely only for the Beit HaMikdash. In the context of discussing the Kiddushin itself, the Gemara in Masechet Kiddushin on Daf Bet Amud Bet, source number 5, it asks, "My Lishna Derabanan, De Asr La Achule Alma Kehektish." That what happens at the chuppah is that the wife, in relationship to the husband, becomes like Hektish. Now, on the surface, that seems less than romantic for the chuppah. Right? You get up there, she walks 7 circles around him, they look at each other, and he looks at her and he says, "You're like Hektish to me." Just like that chair could be designated to the Beit HaMikdash, you're designated to me. Ring, break the glass, let's dance. Right? What does that mean? What's going on there? What's going on beneath the surface? And Tosafot jumps on this and discusses it very beautifully. He adds a little bit more layers to it in source number 6. He says that the concept of saying, V'hareat mikudeshet li, kilomar liyot li mikudeshet leolam bishvili. And in the other line, in the underline, upshita demilta mikudeshet li. What is the simple meaning of what it say? Mikudeshet li, hareat mikudeshet li, miyuchedet li. Umizumenetli. That what's happening there under the chuppah is that when the chatan says Hareyat Mikudeshetli, he's saying that you are unique to me in all of the world. You are separate to me in all of the world. You are set aside to me. You are singularly relating to me in all of the world. There is that one-on-one relationship that is created right now, where you can no longer have any relationship with anybody else, because I am, the implicit understanding is, I am dedicating myself entirely to you, and you are dedicating yourself entirely and singularly to me. That's the commitment that's being expressed by the phrase Hareat Mikudeshet. What's being expressed through Kiddushin, just like Hektish. What is Hektish really saying? Hektish is saying that I'm taking this object and it has no connection to the rest of the world. It has a connection to one thing and one thing alone, and that is Beit HaMikdash. That's what's at the root of Kiddusha. So much so that it even applies on the flip side. Comes up a couple of times in Chumash. If you take a look in source number 7, there's a command in Parshat Shoftim, I believe. Lo tiyeh kedesha mi benot Yisrael. Velo tiyeh kedesha mi benot Yisrael. Maze lo tiyeh kedesha? Maze kedesha? A prostitute. That's not the word that I would have expected to be associated with a prostitute. We just said that it's in the context of marriage. Lo tiyeh kedesha? Kedesha is a harlot? Rashi on the spot explains, using the same words, but showing how it can go both ways. Lo tzia kadesha, mufkeret, mikudeshet umizumenet liznut. You choose what you want to be dedicated to. At the root of Kedusha is to dedicate oneself fully to something. It doesn't define yet. We haven't defined yet what we're dedicating ourselves to. So much so that it's such a raw root that a kedesha is somebody who has totally dedicated themselves to one thing. That one thing is nut. And it's usser, and it's a total destruction of everything that kiddushin is about. It's the flip side and the destroyed aspect of kiddushin. It's the entire opposite end of the spectrum. But the goal of kiddusha is to be totally and singularly focused on one thing. Totally and completely dedicated to one thing. Ad kedekach, that's how it can be used in Chumash. That's one layer of what Kedusha is. Totally dedicated to one thing. Let's add more layers. What's the opposite of Kedusha as defined by the psukim that we read earlier in this year? Chol. Let's see if by understanding Chol, we can see how it's the opposite of Kiddusha and help us define better what Kiddusha is. What words do we have that are associated with Chol? Good. We'll fit in. Keep going. What words are associated with Chol? Chol HaMoed. Chilul Hashem. What's a Chalal? Better?
That's great.
That's Chilul. Maza Chalal. What? Good, we'll add that one also. That's a Chalil. A Chalil is a flute. Maza Chalal? A dead body.
Some of a divorce, some of a
coin,
and some of
that. Also good. We could do this endlessly, but I learned from last year that if I don't move forward, and I'll use some examples that we won't get to the end. So you're all right, and when we do these definitions, you can easily plug them into the other examples that you gave. Chilul Hashem. A halal is a dead body. A chalil is a flute. When we say Asher Yatzar, Chalulim. Chalulim are the parts of the body where things can travel through. What's the word I'm looking for?
Orifices?
No, that's nikavim. That one's the other word. It's referred to as arteries. It's not really arteries, meaning it's anywhere, any open space in the body that things can travel through. Right? Which is what needs to be open for us to use the bathroom. It's the open spaces in the body and the orifices of the body. But chalulim are the open spaces within the body. We have a problem which we often encounter in these shiurim, which is how do you link these things together? What's the connection between Chilul Hashem, a dead body, a flute, and cavities within the body?
Everything except the flute is something leaving, or the flute is music leaving.
Good. A little bit more refined. Refine a little bit further.
Something outside of yourself?
What unites all of these things together?
There's a void.
Excellent. Empty space. A void. Lo aleinu, when somebody makes a Chilul Hashem in the world, there's an emptiness of godliness in the world. A halal is a dead body. Because what defines us, what makes us uniquely human? What makes us human, according to Judaism? A neshama, thank you. Our soul. And when our soul leaves our body, the only meaningful way to refer to that is a dead body is that which is lacking its soul. There's an empty space where that soul used to be. It's a chalal. Chalil is a flute. The way that a flute works is by hollowing out the inside and creating that empty space on the inside. Chalulim are the empty spaces, those cavities in the body. The idea of chol is that it's space bereft of its core content. It's an object which is missing, empty of its core content. The center is missing. The critical element in the middle is missing. That's what unites all of these things together. If that's what chol is, and the kohanim need to be mavdil, bein hakodesh uvein hachol, what's the flip side of that? What then does that imply about kiddushah?
It's complete.
Use the same language that we use for chol. It's filling the space with its core content. It's filled with its core content. Now these things are different. Being totally dedicated to one thing as comes out through Kiddushin and Hekdesh. And being filled with core content is the flip side of chol. How do we work those together? Let's add one more layer first, and then we'll bring them together in one complete picture. Let's go back to our original pasuk. Source number one. Opening pasuk of Parsha Kedoshim. Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael, v'amarta alehem. Kedoshim tihiyu ki kadosh ani Hashem Elokeichem. Be kadosh. Why? So what is, based on this pasuk, one level of what kedusha is? Godliness. We never see pasukim like that in Chumash. kadoshim to you. Why? Ki kadosh ani, says God, because I am kadosh. You have a responsibility to be kadosh because I, Hashem, am kadosh. It's defining kedusha for us as godliness. How do we then link those three definitions together? What is the goal of kedusha? What is kedusha in essence? Kedusha in essence means when I recognize that my singular goal, the only thing that I am meant to be connected to, when my whole focus in life is on one thing, and what is that one thing? Godliness. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when I totally focus all aspects of my being on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I am then filled with my core content, which is godliness itself. That's what it means to be kadosh. That's what it means to strive for kedusha. Is to be singularly focused on God to the exclusion of all other things. And fill myself with godliness. That's the goal. That's what kedusha is. If we think about it in the context, we've talked about what Tuman Tahara is. We can now also link the whole system together. How did we define Tum'ah in the past? Based on the Lashon of Mituntam or Tumtum. Tum'ah means to be totally blocked off. There's blockages in the system. There's an inability for things to get through. What then is the process of Tahara? Lashon Tzohar. Tzoharayim, we talked about last time as well. But that's to create a totally clear pathway, to remove those blockages and create a clear pathway down that pipeline. Once I've successfully created a reality of Tahara and that pipeline is clear, how do I exist? What word can we now apply? Chol. I've removed the blockages, I've cleared the pathway, and now that pathway is empty. It has the potential to be filled. So once I've removed the tzumot and metahar myself and I exist in a reality of chol, now I can infuse myself with my core content. I can infuse myself with my ultimate goal. I can infuse myself with what I'm meant to be. I can bring kedusha into myself, kedusha into my life. And the essence of what kedusha is to be singularly focused on our relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. That is the only thing that fills me. That's the only content that I have. Is this deep, meaningful relationship, this vibrant relationship, this content-filled relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is Kiddusha. Go back to source number 4. We're told that the goal is Pasuk Vav. Vatem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim v'goy kadosh. First thing is, that first part of the underline. Vatem tiyu li. You should be to me. Similar to harei at mikudeshet li. So Kadosh Baruch Hu turning to us and saying, you are meant to be for me because that's what Kedusha is. Vatem tiyu li. Mamlechet Kohanim. Why choose Mamlechet Kohanim in this pasuk? What sefer does the concept of Kedusha manifest in? Vayikra. What is the name for Chazal for Vayikra? Torat Kohanim. The Kohanim are the ones who define what Kedusha is. That's their goal. Ulahavil bein hakodesh uvein acholu, bein atameo, bein atzahor. Vatem tilim. It's not just on the Kohanim. You are all, we are all expected. Every one of us in Klal Yisrael. Vatem tiyuli mamlechet kohanim. A whole nation of kohanim. Being mavdil, ben tamei v'tahor, ben kodesh and chol. And therefore achieving each one on their own individual level. Therefore you can become a goy kadosh. That's the goal. That's how the pasuk is phrased. That's how the pasuk is put together. And all of these concepts beautifully wrap themselves up in the closing psukim of the parsha. In source number 9, it's the end of the parsha. It's a little bit out of context here because for space and for time. But it says, "Ve'omar lachem, atem tirshu et admatam ve'ani et nena." If you remove all of these issues and you do what I say in Parshat Kedoshim, you will inherit Eretz Yisrael. Ani Hashem Elokechem, asher hivdalti etchem min ha'amim. I am Hashem your God who has done what? Separated you. Because that's what Kedusha is. Ulahavdil beina koresh beina chol. I've made you kadosh by separating you from all other nations and designating you for Kedusha. Keep going. And therefore you have a responsibility. V'yivdaltem b'ena behima t'ora l'tme'a. You have to separate between all kosher, all tahor, and tame animals. Why is it bringing in the issues of food here? We'll get back to that in a few moments. V'lo t'shaksu et nafshoteichem behima v'o v'chol asher t'mos adama asher hivdalti lachem l'tame. Concluding Psukim, Pasuk Chavav, again, Vayitem li kedoshim. Be to me kadosh. Ki kadosh ani Hashem. Because I, Hashem, am kadosh. Ve'avdal etchem min ha'amim liyot li. And I have separated you from all nations. Liyot li. Because kedusha comes from havdalah, of separating the whole world out and focusing only on one thing. Zehu. And that's very daunting. Kedusha is the ultimate goal. It takes a lifetime. It could take more than a lifetime to attain Kedusha. But the ultimate end goal of Kedusha means that I am 110% in every aspect of being focused on one thing, and that one thing is God. That's Kedusha. That is the only focus of my life. That is the only thing I'm thinking about. That in the same way, as is often the case, and it's very normal, it's very healthy, that when you see a chatan and a kala who are engaged, you try to talk to them. It's almost impossible to talk to them. They're just spacing you out the entire time. You know why they're spacing you out the entire time? Because all they can think about is the other person. They don't even notice you're there. And then you get upset until you go through it and you realize you're going to do the same thing to your friends. But you can't even talk to them. They're only thinking about one thing, and that's the other person. That's the basis. Then when a couple gets married and goes forward, the goal of life is to maintain that and build that and make that real. Take all of that potential, take all of that inspiration and make that into the reality of life. We've talked about those concepts before many times. That's a very difficult challenge. Same thing, you have those moments of inspiration. That moment where you see God, where you experience a Kadosh Baruch Hu, I see godliness in my life. And it's all I can think about because you see with clarity in that moment. Ein od milvado. There's nothing but a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And life is about building back to that being, the only thing I'm focused on. The Rambam in Hilchot Tshuva talks about what it means to truly reach a place of Ahavat Hashem. Incredible language that we don't quote often enough from the Rambam. That a person needs to be lovesick for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That I can't stop thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's how he describes it. Choli cholei ahava. He talks about, literally uses the words lovesick. That's the only thing in my mind. That's Kedusha. That's Kedusha in Kedushin, Kedusha in marriage. Then that's the only thing, my only focus. As a paradigm for the ultimate relationship, which is with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where the only thing I'm focused on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where I'm able to cut away at all of the other things that are pulling at me and stay singularly focused on the goal, singularly focused on what matters. Have that reality of Ahava, which means to give. I'm only giving over to that other being, and that other being is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Kedusha. A little bit more content. How do we achieve such a thing? So let's take a look at some of the classic Mefarshim. The other side of the page. I gave you the pasuk at the top of the page again so you could see it on the other side of the page. On this pasuk, Daber al kol adat b'nei Yisrael v'amarta lehem kedushim tiyu kedosh Hashem Elokechem. So Rashi says, Maze kedushim tiyu. Somewhat famously, Rashi defines Kedusha in very narrow terms. Source number 11. He says, Havei prushim min ha'arayot min ha'avera. That a person who separates themselves from sexual immorality, that's kiddusha. Says Rashi, shekol makom shata motze geder erva, ata motze kiddusha. Anytime you find offense around issues of arayot, there, says Rashi, I guarantee you, you will find kiddusha. Where does Rashi learn this at? Where did Rashi get that from? What's the context of that statement? Technically, it's a double parsha, so I can hold you accountable for this. What about Achrimot? Not the middle. The whole end of the parsha is defined as Parshat Arayot. Parshat Achrimot ends with a list of all of the usur relationships in this world. Closes with that in the next pasuk in the narrative of Torah, because the Torah doesn't care that we're dividing between parshiot. It has one narrative to tell. We have to learn out why there's division between the parshiot. They have individual identities. But what was the pasuk right before this? The pasukim right before this was Parshat Arayot. And so Rashi is very simply and beautifully learning out. If we just said don't engage at all in Arayot, and then the next pasuk is Kedoshim to you, Mazdeh Kedusha, to stay away from Arayot. And on the simplest level, that makes sense. Because what is Arayot all about? Kadosh Baruch Hu tells me that I am allowed, I'm mechuyav to have a relationship with somebody of the opposite gender in this world. I have to enter into a marriage. And if I do it in the context of a marriage, what is it? Kiddushin. It exists within the realm of Kiddusha. But if I in any way engage in a relationship with somebody of the opposite gender, outside of the realm of Kiddushin, outside of the realm of Kiddusha, what I'm doing underneath the surface here, Rashi isn't saying this explicitly, but this is what's happening underneath the surface here, is I'm making a choice. I can focus all of my relationship energy on the only relationship that I'm supposed to be focused on the singular relationship I'm supposed to focus on, which is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or I can funnel off some of that energy, some of that relationship energy, and I could put it where it doesn't belong. And I could start spreading myself thin, spreading my relationships across different places. In which case, that's the opposite of Kiddushah, because Kiddushah is dedicated to one thing and one thing only. And anytime a person chooses to engage in Arayot, in any level, and there are madrigot, there are many, many levels in terms of how to stay away from Arayot and to be Kadosh in these ways. But any time that I give over of myself and my energies inappropriately in a relationship with somebody of the opposite gender, I'm choosing not to focus on a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and I'm sharing that relationship anyway with somebody else. And that's going to hinder my Kiddusha, and that's going to create the worst type of tum'ah possible. That's why the most serious tum'ah is related to Arayot. Because Arayot is making a choice. God or her. God or him. And therefore, any place where we see somebody build a fence around themselves in the realm of Arayot, you will find Kiddusha there. Because they're fencing everybody else out, but who are they fencing in with them? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Kiddusha. And that's a lot of food for thought. That's a lot of internal work. On the most extreme levels, we're talking about pure Arayot. Sigaling it back, or we're talking about Shomer Negiyah. How much of myself do I share verbally with somebody of the opposite gender? How much do I get around with somebody of the opposite gender? When am I in co-ed situations and when am I not in co-ed situations? I'm not saying there are easy answers to these questions or definitive hardline answers to these questions. But the work in these areas to make sure that I'm staying pure in these areas, Zeh Kiddusha. In another shir, you could shy away from these things, but this is Zeh Kiddusha. And that's how Rashi defines it. That that's the goal, to be singularly focused in that way. And as an aside, for what it's worth, being in this job for a few years at this point, almost every time that a person comes over to me and wants to talk to me, when they're struggling in areas of Arayot, I throw out there, I say, by the way, How's your tefillah doing? Just curious, how's your tefillah doing? How's your learning doing? And every time, guys usually come to me with those specific issues. And so they say, you know, that's so funny. You know, since I started struggling this, since we started dating, since it started happening, I stopped going to davening and I stopped learning. I don't know, what, how'd you know that? And the answer is because that's what happens. And it's not a random correlation. There's no randomness in the world. There's an internal feeling that I know that I've cut myself off from that primary relationship and I've chosen something else and I feel like I can't connect in the same way because I can't connect in the same way because I'm cut off. There's blockages in the system. In the way that's the most antithetical to Kedusha. The end of Achrimo, Parshat Arot, and Kedoshim are juxtaposed to each other. And those are the two opposite ends of the spectrum. And it takes time to... That's why Taraz is something we just achieve in a day. We have 50 days of Sefirot HaOmer to try to accomplish this. And a lifetime to try to accomplish this. These are not simple things. I'm not judging anybody in the room. These are things that take a lifetime to achieve. And they don't end necessarily in marriage. Lo aleinu, a person certainly can create much worse sins in the realm of Arayot in marriage. But you all see, we've talked about in the past, that there are times when people think that once they're married, so then they can. Now it's fine to interact with other couples in certain ways and this and that. And things get complicated. Things can get tricky. How do I deal with that? How do I work on that? It's a lifetime of avoda. What do I listen to? What comes across my screen in ads as I go along in the internet? What situations do I put myself in when there are ads flashing? What am I thinking about? What am I focused on? Lifetime of work. And every step, every inch in this world of tum'ah that every single one of us takes, every inch towards Kedusha is a Herculean effort like in no other generation. And inch by inch, we strive to be Kadosh. That's how Rashi defines Kedusha. But there's more. The Ramban, Nachmanides, as is his way, loves to quote Rashi. And once he's quoted Rashi, he loves to argue with Rashi. And this place is no different. Take a look in source number 12. Ramban quotes Rashi. I literally put it in quotations for you. Havi Purushim v'chule. And then he argues with him. He says, Aval b'torat kohanim, second line after the period. Aval b'torat kohanim, ra'iti stam prushim to you. Prushim to you, all it says is to be parush. Maze parush, maze prishut. To be separate, which makes sense. That's how we define Kedusha. He says, it's prushim to you. And then he goes forward and says in the underline, lefi da'ati, against Rashi, he says, ein ha-prishut haze lifrosh min ha-arayot kedivrei harav. That Kedusha is not defined by separating from Arayot. That's far too narrow in its scope, says the Ramban. When it talks about Kedusha, it means Prishut, as it is mentioned all the time. Kedusha means Prishut. That's what it's about. It's about separating oneself. Vainyan. Hear the words of the Ramban now. So now I'm going to tell you what Prishut is. And I'm going to tell you what it really means to be Kadosh. Vainyan ki ha-Torah hisira. The Torah warns us about things like Ba'arayot, uv'machalim asurim. And then goes into all the details of that. So the Ramban just said, hear the words of the Ramban. The Ramban just said, Rashi, you're wrong. How could you limit Kadosh and Arayos? How could you do such a thing? It means Prishut, separating yourself from all things like Arayos. And food. Those are two. Could have at least given him half credit. Right? Rashi got 50% of the way. When he opened up, it sounded like he was opening up this whole new world of what Kedusha is. That it's precious. And then when the Ramban himself goes on to define how to live precious, he limits it to two categories. Arayos and food. What's going on? What's the meaning of that Ramban? And he pretty much sticks to those two for the entirety of the rest of their mind. You should read the whole thing inside. It's a beautiful Ramban. So he explains further that the goal of Prishut in general, and specifically in these two areas, he's not saying that Kedusha is limited to these two areas. He's saying that Prishut applies to all things, and somehow Arayot and food are the top tier categories of ways to experience Kedusha, which can be experienced in all things. That's how he's shifting away from Rashi. In the further down in the underline, v'hine yihye naval birushut haTorah. That the warning here and the mitzvah here, the warning is to stay away from becoming an aval birushut haTorah, from overindulging where the Torah allows. Lefichach ba katuv. Therefore, the pasuk comes. Achareisha pareta asrim she'asaro tilagamrei. After discussing all these things which are aser, v'tziva b'davar klali, and it gives us an overarching mitzvah. Sheniye pirushim min hamutarot. To be parush from that which is mutter. What does that mean? What's that all about? The Ramban is defining kedusha. It applies in all areas of life. Somehow more so in the realm of arayot and food, as being parush from that which is mutar. The way that the later svarim often relate to it is kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lecha. To find kedusha in the areas where things are allowed. Because of the nature of the group that we're in, I'm going to talk about food, but it can be easily applied to arayot as well. I'll let you make the connections on your own afterward. Let's talk about food. If I take out something and I want to eat it, first thing I have to do is make sure that it's not tameh. And that's exactly what the Pesukim constantly are emphasizing in Parsha Shmini, then of our Parsha. It can't be tameh. It can't be not kosher. And so I fulfill that responsibility. I make sure that my food is 100% kosher. It's Rabbanut. It's Badatz. Bet Yosef, anybody? Making sure it's 100% kosher. Is that Kiddusha? Not yet. That makes it mutar. But it's not fully mutar yet. What else do I have to do? I have to make a bracha. I'm chayav to make a bracha. It's aser lehanot me'olam hazeh b'lo bracha. It's aser to enjoy anything in this world without a bracha. I have to respect that it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and bring it into my life. After I make sure that it's kosher, and after I say that bracha, what is the avodat Hashem next? What's the next thing that I'm required to do? What's the next halacha?
Eat.
No, there's no halacha that you have to eat.
If you mean the bracha, don't you have to perform it?
Oh, it's fine. So you take the bright to be good. You want to make sure you go through the bracha. You're very concerned with the bracha, which is great. So is God. You take that first bite. Now what? Al pi halacha, there is nothing. From the beginning to the meal, to the end of your meal now, there is basically, I mean, there are halachot of how to eat. But there's basically nothing to do. Your eating now is totally outside of the realm of Avodat Hashem. But what's the nature of Kiddusha? I'm only dedicated to one thing. The concept of Kiddusha, says the Ramban, is that I'm making sure that when I'm in the realm of Mutar, when there are no longer any hard and fast halachot, that's the true test if I'm a person who's truly living Kedusha. In those moments where I can't take an action anymore, in those moments where, technically speaking, I don't have to be focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, does anybody know whether or not I'm focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Nobody has any idea. I'm sitting there, we're having our Shabbos meal together, nobody has any idea what's going through my mind. There's only one being who knows what are in my thoughts at that moment. Me and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's it. And what Kedusha means is, after I've taken care of all of my halakhic responsibilities, to what extent am I bringing Kedusha into that moment? Kadesh atzmecha b'mutar lecha. Everything's mutter now. And now comes the true test. Because I've checked all of my boxes. And technically speaking, I could go up to a Kadosh Baruch Hu 120 and bring him and say, look, here's the Mishnah Berurah. I have a check mark next to every single halacha. Here's my down payment. I'm ready for my chelek in Olam Haba. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will look back at that person and say, if you thought that all of this was about you filling a bunch of check marks, you have missed the entire purpose of Torah. The goal was to connect to me. The goal was to create a relationship with me. And the deepest way to reflect and manifest a relationship with the HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes dafka in those moments where there are no halachot. That's the true test. Was I really lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time? Or was I just following the group? Was I really lovesick for HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time? Or was I just afraid of divine retribution? Why was I doing all of that? In those private, quiet moments where it's only up to me, that's where it's defined. And why specifically arayot and achila? Why arayot and food? Take something like food. That's one of the most difficult tests in the entire world. And that's why Chiyat Adam HaRishon was dafka through the act of eating. And the biggest tikkunim that come through eating. Because when I take that food and I make sure it's kosher and I say that bracha and I take that bite, nobody knows the answer to the following question. Am I eating for me or am I eating for God? Because when I take a bite out of that food, it's pleasurable, it's enjoyable. And I could make, in my own internal world, I could make that entire experience singularly about myself. And that's the easy way to go. And nobody would know. The question is, can I go to those parts of life which are required of me? I have to eat to live. I can't live without eating. And food is inherently enjoyable. I'm naturally inclined to enjoy it, to feel that pleasure as those tastes explode on my taste buds. In that moment, is my entire kavana, my entire focus on eating on me? Deep down, is my life about being selfish? Focused on myself? Is the one thing that I'm dedicated to me? Or deep down, is the one thing that I'm committed to, dedicated to, thinking about? Is it God? Zeh Kedusha. When I walk down in the cafeteria and I look at the food options that are in front of me, do I think to myself, wow, that looks so tasty. I'm going to get that. Yeah, sure, it's bad for me. It's bad for my body. It's going to cause me all kinds of problems. But it tastes so good. Who am I eating for? I'm eating for me. Or when I look at that list of things, I look at that whole array of things in the cafeteria, do I think to myself, what in this display, what in this, which food here is going to give me the koach to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu for the rest of the day? I'm eating for God. When that, and these are deep levels, but and this is these are deep levels and they haven't even scratched the surface. When I take the bite of that apple, having chosen that apple over the candy bar, when I take a bite of that apple, and I see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the world this incredible, beautiful, gorgeous, luscious apple. This tasty apple. And my taste buds explode with the taste of that apple. Do I think to myself, wow, this tastes amazing, I love this. Or I think to myself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, wow, I need to eat. Just like a car needs to run. You could have made this taste like gasoline. And I wouldn't have had a choice. Thank you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I give hodah to you on every single burst of taste that you created the world in such a beautiful way, that you gave me this hana, and I'm dedicating it back to you. And on and on and on and on. We've actually had in the past, we had a whole semester where a small group of us just learned, engaged in yane of achila b'kedusha. This is not even the beginning. It's certainly not the end. Totally dedicated to one thing. It happens to be that it most prominently manifests in Arayot, like Rashi said, and the Ramban brings back in an Achila. That's why the Rambam, in his Sefer Kedusha, in the Rambam, there's only two things in the Rambam Sefer Kedusha. Arayot and Machlot Asurot. All of Judaism agrees on the same thing. These are the two things at the centerpiece of Kedusha. And if you go back again, we have to stop. If you go back again to Bereshit, the two primary sins by Adam HaRishon, there's a hint to the fact that there was something wrong in the relationship between Adam and Chava. And the pasuk after describes that there was something wrong in that relationship. The next pasuk gives that the Nachash comes and they eat from the fruit. These are the two most delicate areas of life which are totally focused on the answer to one question. Which only I can answer, only Kadosh Baruch Hu knows. Is it about me or is it about a Kadosh Baruch Hu? The goal of life is atem tiyu lima mlecha kohanim v'goy kadosh. That was an intense shiur. We talked about the end goal. We talked about the ultimate goal. I want to emphasize one last time, every single inch that we take forward in this world to be more dedicated to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to strive for Kedusha, to remove Tum'ah, to be in a state of Taran, to be Kadosh. It's what a Kadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. It's a lifetime goal. B'ezrat Hashem, we should be zocha to work, to achieve Tara, to bring Kedusha into our lives, and to deeply feel what it means to be singularly focused on a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So that when we get to Olam Haba, and the veil of the world gets lifted and we see Einu Levado, we can look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, it's all good because we've been engaging each other the whole time. Bezrat Hashem.